Some sobering news out of Ukraine today. The country's largest children's hospital has been hit by the Russians, and that was in the capital, in Kyiv. Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley, who is in Lviv today. Joseph, what's the latest?
Hey, Bob. Yeah, indeed. It's pretty bad. I'd say one of the worst days for Kyiv City since 2022. And it's hard to believe there was an attack in the middle of the night throughout Ukraine. And no one even, it's hard to even remember that now, because between 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock this morning, Russia, which, by the way, currently holds the chair of the UN Security Council, fired 40 missiles upon Kyiv City, 40 missiles. So seemingly it seems that they overwhelmed the air defense, and they hit two medical facilities, including, as you mentioned, Ukraine's flagship children's hospital, a very modern, state-of-the-art place. And many children were being treated for cancer, for war wounds, for all kinds of things. There are images you can see of kids with cancer, you know, undergoing chemotherapy outside in the sweltering heat today. With their IV pumps, you know, they have, the hospital's destroyed, so they're out on the streets. You see scenes of doctors and nurses in bloodied white coats, along with nearby office workers and police officers and foreign volunteers, and they're standing in lines to one by one, brick by brick, pass debris away from the hospital. So they can dig people out. It's really horrible images. And I saw in a in one of the videos that's been circulating after the, it was incredibly intense within a small space of time. And so, I mean, I've never seen Kyiv like that before. You know, one missile after another, and you can see in one video in what seems to be the general direction of the hospital, already on fire. You know, already a big cloud of smoke. Yet another missile going to precisely that point. And, you know, this is what Russians have, you know, they've done this pretty often, where, you know, they'll wait till rescue workers arrive and they'll hit them again. And there was other scenes of the rescue workers, when the air raid alarm went off for a second time during these late morning hours, people had to flee the hospital scene because they feared that there was another missile coming in. And I was texting with people in Kyiv right about that time, you know, to figure out what's going on. And this happens pretty often, but especially today, you're texting, you can tell someone's typing, and the message is sent. I got several messages like this. The messages end in typos, because that means, you know what that means. They were typing a normal message, and then all of a sudden, you know, the whole building, wherever these people are, the buildings shake from another incoming missile. That was this morning. And then even through the night, we had reports at about 11 o'clock at night that Russian bombers had taken off. And there was a major missile attack throughout the country, more, it seems, targeted on infrastructure, not on the cities, at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And so this morning, when the all-clear alarm sounded, I went for a run at about 7:30 or 8. And, you know, I assumed, you know, usually after a major attack, there's going to be at least a few days or weeks before something else like that. So I went for a run. I wasn't really paying attention to the news. And I got to my regular coffee shop afterward, and the staff just tells me, rockets are coming. You hear that as you get your morning coffee. And it's a very different feeling here in Lviv, because, you know, when rockets are coming, you know you have some time to prepare. You got time to contemplate your fate or try to get in a safer place. But in Kharkiv and other places, you don't have that. And even in Kyiv, because the Russians use these the Kinzhal hypersonic missiles today. And if that's not enough, also further south, several hundred miles south of Kyiv, in the city of Dnipro, on the same river as Kyiv, the Russians also sent many missiles, and they also hit another hospital there. This is all from mid-morning to about noon today. So it's a very heavy and difficult day. And as some people have been pointing out, it's been more than two and a half years here of Russia's full-scale war, and Ukraine still has only 3 Patriot missile batteries. These are air defense systems, really the top-of-the-line air defense system from the United States. There are many of them, many hundreds of them around the world, you know, in different warehouses, like the Indiana Jones warehouse or something. Ukraine has got three of these for the largest country in Europe. When the, you know, after 2.5 years, if you put it like that, and you see what happens when you can't, you know, you don't have enough of those systems to protect major European cities. You see what happens, like the carnage that we see today.
If some of the decision makers were with you, I think maybe they'd have different opinions. And the attack we're talking about today, of course, coming on the eve of that 3-day NATO summit in Washington, where Ukraine will be a big topic. I heard a somebody from a think tank give an assessment of the war, saying that the Russians have no chance of winning as long as the international coalition continues to support Ukraine, and political will be the decisive factor. And this analyst went on to say it's not what happens on the battlefield. It'll be what happens in Washington, just like it was in World War II. If Ukraine is abandoned, they will lose. It seems like you agree with that assessment, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, you see Ukrainians will hold on and do everything they can, but if when they have the tools, they can achieve extraordinary things. And, you know, as we look at the NATO summit in Washington, I look at, you know, what is the information people have about Ukraine? And, you know, so many Americans I know, not WGN audience, but others, will share, for example, there was a New York Times story over the weekend about some foreign fighters misbehaving in Ukraine. Stories of Ukrainians rounded up in the streets to join the military. Or that that ridiculous story of the false story that Olena Zelenska went to Paris and bought a $4 million Bugatti. People will share these stories, but what they won't share, some of those stories are true, but the Bugatti story is obviously false and proven to be so. They'll share these ridiculous scenes, but they won't share the scenes of bloodied nurses and doctors trying to save kids with cancer because their hospital was blown up by Russians. They won't share these images. And if they did, maybe more people would begin to wake up. And over the weekend, there was in Kyiv, hundreds of people gathered on the main square, the Maidan of Kyiv. This is a story that was not reported in a big way. Peter Fouché, a South African British medic, was killed, you know, while he was attending to the wounded at the front lines. Actually, unfortunately, I saw he sent me a message several weeks ago that I somehow missed and didn't respond to. But he was so well loved. He made powerful videos from the front line, encouraging the West to not be hypocritical, to support Ukraine. And he was there saving people's lives. He always was carrying a rosary. His motto was God sees everything. And hundreds of people for many minutes were on their knees in that main square of Kyiv to honor this hero who didn't have to be here, who chose to be here. And so if more people saw those stories, maybe there'd be a different situation.
Maybe. So important to get your firsthand accounts here every day, Joe. More tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.